Welcome to the Pack'Em. I'm Pat Abendroth with Mike Grimes. And on today's episode, we are talking about leadership.
Leadership.
Leadership for leaders, leadership for people who aren't leaders, who can pray for leaders. Leadership in the church, leadership mainly in the church, but also outside of the church. Anything before we jump in head first into the topic today, episode 166. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, we do have a contest that... Yeah, it was a couple episodes ago we mentioned about your newest book, The Active Obedience of Christ.
Oh, the t-shirt.
Yes, the super t-shirt, cool t-shirt, sticker pack.
I do have one, I have to confess. I didn't win it, but you gave it to me.
I did. I gave you the t-shirt.
Yeah, it says The Active Obedience of Christ, No Hope Without It on the front, little Pactum logo. It's pretty styling.
It is. It's nice. So the contest is that you are to take a picture of your copy of The Active Obedience of Christ.
The book
by Patrick Abendroth.
No pictures of Jesus.
No. So take a picture of your copy of the book. Maybe it's a creative picture, but a picture nonetheless. Post that on social media, Twitter or Instagram. Tag us in it or reference us or whatever you call that. Mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to, you could email us a picture. If you don't have the social media stuff, connect@thepactum.org. Here's the deal. We're going to let the contest go one more week.
Oh, we are?
Okay. Yeah. So we've gotten some pictures. We're loving those pictures. They're
some
great pictures.
Good submissions that make me want to travel.
Great pictures. And we're going to do the old, let's give it one more week. Because, you know, maybe somebody's still waiting on Amazon to deliver their book. Did I mention Amazon is where you can get your copy of the book? So you've got until... next week's episode, we'll announce the winner.
There you go.
So sounds there good. You have it.
We also have a conference coming up, so don't forget to register don't forget to register for the conference. God's Good Law, October 11 to 12, 2024 in Omaha, Nebraska. JV Fesco, Mike Abendroth, David Van Drunen, and myself. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fantastic.
And so Friday and Saturday, we're also doing a pre-conference seminar for preachers or up-and-coming preachers. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool. It'll be over the lunch hour. I mean, here are some of the sessions. The Law Gospel Paradigm, Natural Law, The Law's Three Uses, Covenant Theology and the Law, Legalism and Antinomianism, Theonomy and the Law. I don't know. I think I covered all of them. Mm. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
And on Sunday morning, if you're still in town, we will record a live Pactum episode before the worship service hour, so during the Sunday school hour. Yes, we have Sunday school.
Yes.
And we're going to have a great time. Really, really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
People from all over God's green earth already signing up. So
for sure.
Be a part.
So if you need to sign up, which you do, go to thepactum.org. And get registered. You got all the information, all the details. You can get signed up. Early bird rate, $40. I believe that goes until June, July, something like that. Don't quote me on it. It's on the website.
So this whole matter of leadership is important, and we should probably give some qualifiers before we get into the meat of things. First qualifier would be that your sometimes fearless hosts here on the Pactum, Mike and Pat, we are in process. We are still growing and learning. Uh-huh. Have been doing ministry between the two of us for a long time and have been leading in one way, shape, or form for a long time. But we're still learning, so we're not claiming to have all of the answers.
Right.
Probably that should be a leadership principle,
hey,
right? You never think you've arrived.
Yeah, we've never arrived.
I don't think it's on the list, though.
Well,
also another qualifier would be, this is going to, obviously our listenership, you all are mainly Christians. So we're talking about Christians leading. The focus will be leading in the life of the church. Mm-hmm. And yet some of the things will apply outside of the church. Maybe you don't consider yourself a leader. That's okay. You can certainly lead in something. You can lead in service. You can lead as a good example to other people in the local congregation. But also maybe someday you'll be a leader. And or even if we still haven't addressed you, stay tuned anyway to this episode on leadership because we need you to pray for us, those of us who are leaders.
Yes, for sure.
So just this past Sunday morning, Mike, I was getting ready to go. I usually greet people outside, as you know,
yeah.
Greeting people coming in. And somebody said to me, it's 10:29, you got a minute, or 10:30, the music started. And so I'm heading in, and one of our greeters, a kind man, just grabbed me by the shoulder and started praying for me.
Hmm.
And I was thankful to be a leader who was being prayed for by a non-leader.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's
he was
cool.
Praying that I would lead. So
awesome. Very cool.
Made my day.
With the episode today, as per usual, we've got about 10 questions or so that we're going to interact with, engage with, regarding leadership.
It's weird when we break the mold and we don't have the questions and we don't have 10.
Right.
Sometimes we do, though, just to keep people on their toes.
Yeah. So let's start by thinking about leadership. What do you think is the most important feature of Christian leadership?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
I guess you are.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask our listeners,
leader man,
how do you think I'm going to answer the question? So the most important feature, this is we're on purpose. We haven't even defined leadership.
No,
yet.
We haven't.
We will do that. Trust us. It's intentional. What's the most important thing? And I'm going to say actually two things. I'm going to say the most important thing is you need to know things. Mm. You need to know things and you need to have convictions about them.
Mm, yeah.
Why would I say that? I would say that because as a Christian, when it comes to Christian leadership and Christian ministry, we'd better know Christ and we'd better know something about the person of Christ and the work of Christ. And we'd better know what the gospel is, so much so that we know what the gospel isn't when other things pose as the gospel. So let's know Christ. Let's know the personal work of Christ. Let's know the gospel. Let's know what sola fide is, right? It's received by faith alone.
Right. Yeah.
And that's going to relate to issues regarding what the law is and what the gospel is. And why they're both important and why they're both vital, but you can't blur the two. We need to know what the mission of the church is because it has to do with preaching the gospel, preaching the law and the gospel. Oh, I'm out of breath.
Want to know things, have conviction.
So let's start there. How in the world can we lead if we don't have certainty about things?
Sure. Yeah.
So we're going to know the truth about Christ and about other related matters. And then, you know, it's gut level, crawl over broken glass convictions about them.
Right.
Because I guess if I think about my own life and I think about other leaders who I've followed, these are the things that true Christians really are made of and what carry the day. So I think we undersell how important knowledge is.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge without other things is bad. We know that. But you've got to know things. Otherwise, how can you lead in things that have to do with knowledge, given that Christian ministry is actually first and foremost about the gospel?
Yeah. And I think it's important to make the distinction that you did not say know everything.
Hmm. Oh, fair.
And have convictions about everything. I mean—
And why do you say that?
Just because you don't know everything about everything. We're still, as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode—
Speak for yourself.
We're still in process. We're still learning. We're still growing, being sanctified. And so for a Christian leader to get up and act and pretend and lead in such a way that they know everything and sit down and learn under them because they have all the answers, humility would be a good thing to exercise in your leadership.
Yeah, I want to jump into your lane on that one. I think that's really helpful to bring that up. And there are people who— On any given Sunday, let's just use a Sunday as an example, though ministry gets done outside of Sundays. If we think about on a Sunday, there are people who, I mean, I'm just thinking, there's a pediatric heart surgeon, that I see frequently I'm preaching. He knows a lot. I'm not even going to try to know what he knows.
Right, yeah.
And I want to inspire him and encourage him to know some of the things I know, but he'll probably never be expert in the things I know either. So anyway.
And that's okay, right?
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So don't try to be an expert in everything because you'll never be able to be, but do be an expert. Let's address pastors now.
Yeah.
Do be an expert in the Word of God as it relates to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ for sure and the gospel.
Yes.
And then obviously we want to lead the people to know Christ better, and we want to lead the pediatric heart surgeons to know Christ better and the gospel and do ministry with them and lead them in ministry.
Yeah.
But why would they follow you if you're the leader, if you don't even know things to the point of having strong convictions about them?
Right, for sure. So maybe now as we think about leadership, we ought to pause and define leadership. What is leadership?
Easier said than done.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we can quote some other people. That way we don't have to be on the hook.
Hey,
that way,
good.
You know,
we can blame these people.
People can disagree with us. Well, Mike, according to the Harvard Business Review... You know, I did, you know, I tried Bible searches and typed in, you know, what is leadership and didn't get a lot back. But anyway, the Bible does talk about leadership. We'll get there.
Yeah.
But okay, just a general generic definition of leadership from the Harvard Business Review. Leadership is the accomplishment of a goal through the direction of human assistance. Okay. I mean, it's an accomplishment of a goal, right? Together as a team, I'm going to elaborate a little bit. John Maxwell and his one of his 7,800 books on leadership. book. As an aside, let's cite him, right?
Yeah,
New York Times bestseller. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Hmm. Yeah, that earns a Mike Grimes. Do people ever ask you if you're the Grimes from The Walking Dead?
So I get a lot of the, when I say, name, I say Mike Grimes, they go, they start looking at me funny. Like, as in, I'm like, yeah, Rick Grimes. Yeah. No. No relation.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, people never understood my last name, didn't know, hadn't heard it, mm-hmm. foreign concept until The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And now it's like a common name to people.
It's true.
So I'm thankful for The Walking Dead.
I may know someone who just started watching the whole series.
Oh, yeah?
I may, yeah. Someone else said this. We better sanctify this. Someone else said, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way.
Hey.
I kind of don't like how nice it sounds,
yeah.
but I actually can get behind what it's getting at.
Sure,
The gist of it. Knows the way, goes the way, shows the way. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Someone else, leadership is organizing a group of people to achieve a common goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But leadership involves, I like this one. This was from another specialty site. Leadership involves establishing a clear vision. Okay,
uh-huh.
I can get behind that. Sharing that vision with others so that they will follow willingly.
Vision cast.
Okay, I hate that, don't you?
I do.
You know, vision is a good idea, but the whole vision casting thing, come on. So next, there are four bullet points. Establishing a clear vision, sharing that vision with others. Next, providing the information, knowledge, and methods to realize that vision. And one more visionary statement in this little list of four bullet points. Coordinating and balancing the conflicting interests of all members and stakeholders as they're seeking to accomplish the vision.
The vision.
I added that last part because I wanted that all to include vision. So I actually think those four bullet points are helpful when it comes to what leadership involves.
Sure. Yep.
Someone else, and we'll end with this, would say the role of a leader is to coach, to guide, and inspire others. Hmm. So Mike, do you know what you call a leader who doesn't have any followers?
I don't.
A person who's out on a walk. Pretty dumb.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I may have found that in a fortune cookie at a restaurant
boy.
Or something like that.
Oh, man. So what are some bad takes on supposed biblical leadership?
How about bad take? Exhibit A would be that the Bible is a leadership manual.
You're right. Yep.
We don't think the Bible is a leadership
manual.
No, no. We think the Bible has a lot of important things to say. But going back to the John Maxwell thing, I had to chuckle and go back and forth. I probably have, I think, at least three books that he's written. Hmm. And even as a fairly young Christian and a fairly new pastor, I can remember reading his books thinking, this is super helpful. I just wish you would have left the Bible out of it.
Leave that out of it. Doesn't help.
So at least 90% of it. Maybe you could put some Bible in.
Sure.
But so much of it, it's just common sense. Hmm. And so we don't think that the book of Joshua is intended to be read as some sort of leadership manual. That's not what it's about. We don't think Jesus came to teach timeless leadership principles. We don't think Moses did either, even though obviously Jesus was the best leader of all ever.
Right. Yeah.
And Moses was sometimes a pretty good leader as well. But that's not really the point. And what we want to always remind you of on the Pactum is when you lose the plot line, so to speak, when you lose the fact that the Bible is the revelation of God regarding Jesus Christ, ultimately the Bible is about the Pactum, is what it's about, because it has to do with the drama of redemption, the Pactum Salutis. And when people have lost sight of that, they've had to do something with the Bible. So think post-Enlightenment, when people stopped believing the Bible was God's word and that God had a decree and a purpose that was centered around Christ. People still wanted to go to church and they still wanted to have their – they didn't have 401ks then. But they still wanted to have their retirement plan all that kind of stuff. So they made the Bible about other things other than Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
And it becomes things like a leadership manual or something like that. It's just not true. Mm-hmm. So the bad takes would be making the Bible all about leadership when actually the Bible's all about Christ. Mm. So keep that in mind, even though for sure when you read the Bible, and that leads us to our next question.
Yes.
You are going to learn things about leadership from the Bible, and you should.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got some bad takes on ideas of where people take leadership cues from the Bible. We have some...
The Joshua principle.
Yes. We have some definitions of what leadership is, but where is it then, we would suggest, where should people go, or where should we learn about leadership?
So not to be contradictory, but we want to say, go to the Bible.
Yeah, right.
Learn about leadership from the Bible, in particular when it comes to leading the church.
Yes.
In particular when it comes to leading in gospel ministry. Mm-hmm. So when you read 2 Timothy, it's so much about Paul motivating Timothy to be the kind of leader he needs to be as a church leader.
Yes, right, yeah.
So, and he tells him that he doesn't need to learn, he doesn't need new special revelation. Mm. He doesn't even need to go to general revelation to learn about what the gospel is and the mandate to proclaim the gospel. I think that's really what he's getting at that high point in chapter 3, verses 15, all the way into chapter 4. Mm. So learn about Christian pastoral church gospel ministry leadership from the Bible, from special revelation. 2 Timothy is a great place to start. Where do we learn about eldership? We learn it from the Bible in 1 Timothy and 2 Titus. 1 Timothy and Titus. What's the mission of the church?
Yeah, right.
We don't consult the ant for that, to get ahead of myself. Right. We don't consult general revelation to figure out the mission of the church. We actually learn from the Bible itself that the mission of the church is to proclaim Christ,
to know
nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's very on point, very focused, no mission drift. That's what we're called to. We're called to make disciples,
right?
Baptizing and teaching them.
Yeah.
So pretty straightforward. Where should we learn about leadership? We should learn about leadership from the Bible is what we should do here on the Pactum.
Yes, we should.
Let's go beyond that. Where else should we learn leadership, Mike Grimes?
Well, we can learn from even just thinking about biblical history. We can learn about the different things that have happened over the course of history and seeing the different ways that people acted, the ways that different people led, maybe even just seeing God's sovereignty over all things that have happened and how God has used various people at different times over the course of history to lead in those ways.
Being bold and courageous,
right,
you see, because they believe in the sovereignty of God. They believe in the trustworthiness of the Word of God.
Yep, might even get some bad examples from people who like to not do as they're told or grumble, complain, and
Gongus
do their own thing, you know?
No grumbling, no complaining.
Yeah.
We had a guide one time when we went to Jordan. And she probably was taller than this, but she was vertically challenged. I'm not even going to say how tall I think she was, but she was a great guide. But it was always with her Jordanian kind of broken English. No grumbling, no complaining. And I liked it. I liked it a lot. And we hear a lot of grumbling in biblical history.
Yeah.
And the leaders aren't happy. That's good.
Yeah. We can also learn from leaders thinking outside of biblical history. Time and space, extra-biblical history,
yes,
right?
It's God's world, and God has been working. So let's learn about leadership. And what you end up seeing is time and time again, it looks a lot of it looks the same,
right?
People have to have courage. They have to take risks and not just do status quo because leaders don't tend to do that. How can we make improvements? I was just watching a TV series the other day, and sure enough, it's like all the things, right?
Yeah.
The people are going to get eaten by the monster or whatever if they stay where they are, but they're too afraid to go anywhere else. And so somebody has to take the risk. And say, and at the fear of fail or the risk of great failure and calamity, and it may end up being worse.
Sure.
But they had to be brave and they had to be bold and they had to get the people on board and convince them. It's just, it could be every other movie.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
That has to do with such things.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies, you see it again and again in movies. You say, I see how that works.
Yeah.
And they had to win them over. Yep. So do you have any favorite leadership kinds of movies where there's great leadership going involved, Mike, or not?
I don't.
You don't?
I'm sitting here thinking, he's going to ask. Let's see. Superman. No, I'm
As long as there's no kryptonite, you're going to
know. Yeah, you're good, right? No. I always think of the sports movies where you got the coach, the motivator guy who's leading and the great, I'm trying to think of the speeches and movies coaches give.
I love it.
Yeah, those. Right? Yeah,
some of the documentaries about sports and documentaries about military things.
Yeah, yeah.
Books about military battles, wars, things like that.
Yeah, for
sure. I was listening to the soundtrack as I was working on just prepping for the show of Master and Commander.
Oh,
it's a pretty good movie, and got to motivate the peoples.
Got to motivate them. Good film score there too. Yeah, I don't remember who wrote that one.
Molly was impressed. She walked in the door, and I was listening to whatever classic song it is.
Sure.
She's like, I'm impressed that you're listening to that. And I said, don't be too impressed. It's Master and Commander. She just rolled her eyes.
That's funny. So if someone's a leader or they're leading in different areas in their life, how could they gauge their leadership success? Is there a way that they could gauge that to say, I know I'm a good, effective leader by blank?
Let's start by saying it's not by popularity per se.
Uh-huh.
It might not be. So when someone says, wow, something great must be happening here, there's so many people coming. Well, it could be we're just giving money away.
Could be.
It could mean we're just tickling people's ears, to borrow from 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Right.
We're just entertaining people. So just because there's a crowd and you have a lot of people following doesn't guarantee anything, especially when it comes to Christian ministry.
Yeah, right.
So it's not that hard to draw a crowd. It's not that hard to sell people things if you're good at being a motivational speaker.
Yep.
So let's keep that in mind. But let's not swing the other way where it's, I'm such a great leader, that's why there's no one here.
There's nobody here.
And sometimes people fall into that trap.
Right. So it's not by how many thousands you had at your Easter services compared to the how many tens you had at your Easter service.
But with that, it's funny. We're going to gauge our success by – let's start with the mission. What is the mission? What is the goal that we're supposed to be carrying out? What are we trying to accomplish? And are we moving toward accomplishing that goal?
Yeah.
So if our goal is to preach Christ to everyone and anyone and to see them grow spiritually and develop and be conformed into the image of Christ, okay, so are we doing that? And are we seeing progress? And are we seeing, you know, by God's grace, hopefully some fruit as a result of this? Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm going to tend to take that route. I'm going to think also more in terms of long term. Now we're even getting a little bit more beyond the boundary here. But when it comes to gauging leadership success, also, you know, there are Christians of all different ages, all different backgrounds, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And so I guess if we're doing gospel ministry, it should be affecting all different kinds of people. And so if the only people that are responding are people who look just like me and work out at my gym and dress like I dress, and maybe it's more of a personality cult. Than it is gospel effective ministry. So just some extra thoughts to think about in those terms.
Sure. So when we're thinking about leadership, does this differ from management?
We have to be careful what we say because we're in a building with people who are managers.
Yeah. Right.
No, we laugh because we know people who, so when we're talking about the difference between leadership or a leader and a manager, most people would say, yes, you'd better nuance it, and we want to do that, but there are differences.
Yeah, yeah.
Having said that, Mike, we both know people who have been very successful managers, and they've also been really good leaders.
Right, yeah.
And maybe even one of the keys to being a good manager
is
you also are not just a good manager. You are also a good leader.
Right, yeah.
So I would want to keep that in mind.
Did everybody hear that? The aliens, I think, have landed
in
the studio.
I think maybe they have. So we're either going to edit that out or there's a ginormous, gargantuan earth mover outside the wall.
They're moving the dirt. So if you keep hearing that, that's what it is.
Maybe they're building a new, like, Pactum special.
It's a massive place for all the people who are coming because we're great leaders.
That would be very cool. I'm all in. Management versus leadership. So strictly speaking, let's make a distinction though, because we also know managers who can manage all the parts, who can manage people, and they can manage the products. And they do what they're told to do.
Sure,
they do what's asked of them, but there's no creativity. They're never moving anything forward. There's no kind of vision for the future.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do if there's a crisis and things need to change?
Sure.
And I'm thankful for those people. And in the life of this church, we have some really good managers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they need us to help them. They need some leadership now and then.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously leaders have to manage things, but I want to say a leader is somebody who inspires, maybe where a manager may or may not. We want to set the vision for the future or for something new, something different and new opportunities to do biblical ministry, that sort of thing.
Sure, yeah.
So there's change involved. There's risk involved. You have to help people with their fears. And sometimes managers don't have to deal with those kinds of things.
Hmm. Yeah. So I think that's good. Yeah, that's helpful. So in the, I'm thinking Christian circles, and we're talking about church leadership. Some may have heard of a servant leader. What does it mean to be a servant leader?
Insofar as I understand what a servant leader means, because I'm not altogether sure. Different people probably mean different things.
Yeah, probably.
One, I think of Mark chapter 10, where Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So obviously he's the great servant, and he provides perfect redemption through his great service.
Yeah.
We're called to follow Christ. We're called to imitate Christ because he redeems us. We do want to represent him when we're proclaiming the message of redemption.
Yeah.
So we're called under shepherds as well. So we want to model his shepherding that cares for people. So I think servant leadership is a good thing if we can define it that way. I would think of it in terms of if I'm a servant leader, I'm not a boss.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Where because I have the certain, you know, rank or
yeah,
certain
right, sure.
badge or certain hat or something,
yeah.
I can tell you to do things and you have to do these things because of my title.
Mm.
Well, that doesn't go a long way typically.
Sure. Yeah.
So I want to come alongside people. If we want to use another metaphor other than not a boss, it may or may not work for everybody. But for me, I've thought in terms of a player coach.
Mm. Yeah.
So we want to coach, but we also are playing because we're not just encouraging people with how to play and how to win and be successful in the game, quote unquote.
Right, yeah.
We're also participating. We're also shedding some blood on the field.
Right, yeah, yeah.
We're also, you know, perspiring, if you will.
Yep.
So I tend to use that metaphor. In practice, I don't want to give the impression that I'm just here to tell you how to do ministry, and I don't do anything other than to tell you what to do because I'm the leader.
Yeah, right, right.
Let's not do that. Let's be involved in serving. We're calling other people to serve in light of Ephesians 4 because everyone is called to serve in one way or another. But we, too, want to be serving as we're encouraging others and equipping others for the work of service.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, we don't want to be just dictating, telling people how to do things, what to do, things that we wouldn't even ourselves be willing to do to get alongside, link arms with them, to serve together
yep.
in promotion and defense of the gospel.
Yep. But I do think, and we're going to talk about principles in a little while, and we talk about being prayerful about all of this. You prayerfully consider how you would, yes, be a servant and yes, serve others and be willing to do whatever it takes to help others.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you don't want to rob them of their opportunities
yeah.
for service either,
right.
because we're all supposed to be serving in the body of Christ. So don't, if you're a leader in Christian ministry, you don't want to be the hired hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you folks pay me to do ministry for you.
Yeah, right.
That's not the idea. You're not the hired hand. You're serving alongside. You're assisting. You're helping. You're further equipping. And sometimes, depending on the culture you're in or the culture you're stepping into, people aren't ready for that. They're not used to that. And it's going to take some time to kind of help them.
Yeah.
Get the idea. So I say no to things. I don't show up to everything because I don't have all the spiritual gifts.
Mm, yeah.
But I also want to be careful that I don't show up to nothing. To
yes,
use the double negative.
Right.
So modeling service, inspiring and encouraging through service, but also expecting other people to shed some sweat. Sheds,
yeah.
Do you shed sweat?
I don't
know. You get the idea.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking in the local church context, with multiple leaders or people serving together, how does shared leadership in the local church kind of work itself out?
Complicatedly.
I think so. Complicatedly.
So sometimes, you know, a real small kind of area, maybe you find yourself to be the only leader right now. Hopefully
yeah.
it doesn't stay that way because the Bible does talk about elders, plural, not just elders as well, just getting ministry done and having people involved in service. You need leaders even beyond elders.
Mm.
So sometimes you're alone for a while, but in time, that's not how it's probably going to stay.
Yeah.
And so we're in a context where we have a numerous people who are elders slash pastors slash overseers, and they're qualified to be such. And so we work together as a team. We should talk about that. But we not only have those kinds of leaders, we also have other leaders who lead other areas of ministry under the oversight of the pastors.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of leaders getting a lot of things done. And so how do we do it? How does shared leadership work for us? It works wonderfully, but the church is, it really does. And I'm thankful to the Lord that it does. But I think part of that is realizing that we, going back to the team analogy, we all have to make the team, so to speak.
Mm, yeah, right.
There are qualifications for making the team.
Yes.
No participation, no trophies.
No. You don't.
There is a cut, if you will.
Yes.
Going down that road. But really, you do need to be qualified. But at the same time, we don't all play the same position.
Right.
And so, and that would not be helpful. And I realize there are some of you who listen to the Pactum, and we are thankful that you listen. And I mean that in earnestness, that you might have a different philosophy of shared leadership.
Mm.
May the Lord bless you. And I mean that sincerely with a smile on my face, but I mean it sincerely. But many times when people think somehow shared leadership means all the responsibilities are equally shared, how's that working out for you in 5 years over the long haul? It seems to me that it makes a lot more sense common sense wise. Yes, biblical, but then let's also use common sense because the Bible doesn't flesh all this stuff out to realize we have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. And so we end up, quote unquote, playing different positions on the team,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're still working together, standing firm, striving together for the furtherance of the gospel. So we do that as leaders. We do that with non-leaders as well. But I'm of the opinion that things are a lot better that way. And again, let's not learn all about church ministry and gospel ministry from outside of the church,
mm-hmm.
but let's maybe learn some things from outside of the church. And when everybody supposedly is equal when it comes to not just on the team, but playing the same position,
yeah,
it does not work.
It doesn't work out. No.
So for what it's worth, communication is important when it comes to all of this. Working together, appreciating people's strengths and weaknesses plays a part in all of this. And sometimes maybe if we end up having, you know, we're four quarterbacks deep or four centers deep or four tight ends deep or whatever it might be, maybe we need to, you know, enter the portal.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we need to reach out and do something different and send.
Sure.
And maybe support and help another congregation because we want everyone functioning using their giftedness.
Right.
But
yeah,
hopefully that answers that question a bit.
For sure. Well, I think it's for sure come to the time in the episode where we need to provide some Pactum leadership principles.
Ooh.
That we can share. No, but the next question, what are some leadership principles that we would recommend, share, encourage others with as they're thinking through these matters of leadership, particularly in the church?
Should we do this? Is this going to be a speed round or is this going to be more than one episode or how are we going to do this, Mike?
I think we could do them, I mean, fairly quickly. Maybe some will need some comment.
Let's do that.
But we can do them fairly quickly.
Okay. Here. What's the first principle that we want to share with Pactum listeners?
Principle number one, remember your leader and authority.
So remember your leader and authority.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who would be none other than?
The Lord Jesus Christ. Yes.
We all know that it's true, but practically and functionally, we probably forget about it.
Yes. So Christ, the chief shepherd, we have elders who are under shepherds of Christ serving his church.
Yeah. So if you're a leader, remember you're not the bee's knees, as they say in the UK.
The bee's knees.
You're not the cat's meow. You're the buck. The buck doesn't, you know, the buck goes beyond you.
It does go beyond you. Yes.
So you're accountable to Christ. You're accountable to his word. You're accountable to other elders, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not the tyrant. You're not the guy who can do whatever he wants to do. And
right.
That would be dangerous to be in that kind of position. By the way, that series, I've recommended it before in the Pactum. I watched it on one of the streaming services called How to Be a Tyrant. tyrant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've talked about that before.
Troubling.
How to be a tyrant.
Yeah, we don't advise it. We advise watching it to learn to what learn. Not to do.
Right, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe another principle we mention is to have core convictions, kind of like we mentioned earlier in the episode, know things, have convictions about these things. But to have core convictions, some non-negotiables, maybe we'd say even.
Yeah, where are you simply not going to budge?
Right.
No matter what happens, you'll go down with that ship. There are things that we must, as Christians, have these core convictions. And it might mean getting fired. It might mean nobody, you know, there's a mass exodus. But I've got some core convictions. I'll compromise on certain things, but there are things I simply will not compromise over. We would encourage all Christians to think that way.
Yes.
In light of what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, for example, in the mission of the church.
Yeah.
Another principle would be to prioritize the priority. In other words, let me put some different emphasis on it. To prioritize the priority.
Oh.
Yeah. So, as I first heard probably from D.A. Carson, I'm sure he didn't come up with it, people will forget 90% of what you tell them and teach them. Mm. So make the main thing the main thing.
Yeah.
So just, you know, don't keep reteaching the same exact thing every
week.
Right,
right, right.
But stress the main thing again and again so that the main thing is something that they take away with them over the long haul. I think that's pretty important. So if there is a main thing, and there is, according to 1 Corinthians 15, let's make the main thing the main thing. And you're trying to lead people in this.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah.
Another principle would be to learn from the ant,
which
we like to say on the Pactum.
Yep.
So learn from the ant. In other words, don't only learn from the Bible about leadership. Learn from God's other volume of revelation, general revelation. Both belong to God, and he wants you to learn from how the world works. So I would say the ant and company.
Sure, yeah.
Which leads us to another one that's related. Another principle for leadership would be to consult the wise.
Uh-huh.
So yes, the ant, but what about other pastors? What about other Christians? What about other churches that have been around for a long time?
Yep.
I've learned so many things just by listening and asking questions and then listening, because we don't need to recreate the wheel.
Right, right.
So I just said to someone recently, a brother who I love, I said, I hope you sought wise counsel on this decision.
Yeah.
Because it was a big decision.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, for sure.
How about some more principles, Mike Grimes from The Walking Dead?
Yeah. Rick.
Rick Grimes.
Beware of the preeminence. Now, I don't know what you go with that.
Beware of the I wrote that?
You did.
Yeah.
Beware of the preeminence.
Yeah, I would say that because you tend to think that you're special. You tend to think that you're awesome if you're a leader, because if you're a successful leader, you're not just on a walk.
Yes, right.
If you're a successful leader, there are followers.
Yeah.
And they are seeing you as an authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean as a dictatorial authority, but as an authority. And you're leading them, and you are leading them to a certain, you know, quote unquote promised land,
toward a certain
goal.
Right.
And so you have to be careful. It reminds me of 3 John 9 that says regarding Diophanes. Is that how you say his name?
Diotrephes.
Diotrephes.
Yeah.
Need my eyes checked. You need it. Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first. And he does not acknowledge our authority. He loved the preeminence.
He loves
Diotrephes
that.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to be careful that we don't do that. And I think no one is above becoming a Diotrephes just because the temptation is real. I once heard a pastor say, compliments are like perfume. It's okay to sniff perfume, but don't drink it because it will kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
So when someone encourages you because you've done a good job in leading, you can say thank you.
Thank
you can say
you,
praise
yeah.
the Lord. But at the same time, don't let it go to your head or it'll kill you kind
yeah,
of thing.
For sure.
Yep.
Another leadership principle here on the Pactum, learn to take a punch.
How about that?
Yeah, learn to suffer, learn to persevere. You know, there's going to be difficult things you endure and go through, and you need to be those who are able to suffer and to suffer well through those moments. And times.
Even when you're choosing leaders, you've got to think through, have they been tested? Have they gone through some hard things? The Bible promises suffering. And if people aren't acquainted with suffering, you don't know really yet how they're going to how they're going to handle it when they suffer, and they suffer maybe for the cause of gospel clarity, gospel promotion, gospel fidelity. And we don't want them to cave in, especially when it comes to that matter. So we look for people who've been tested, who've been through maybe some hard things in life. And that's what we mean by they're able to take a punch. You can't be too soft, or you're just going to end up caving in and compromising and or quitting.
Right. Yep.
Yep. We can talk about training others and looking to train other people in leadership. So what's the next generation going to look like?
Yeah.
Are you willing to train others? And in particular, at least for me, training others in leadership oftentimes does not mean sitting down and having a leadership class. Because of the nature of Christian ministry, because of the nature of the Christian church, what it ends up meaning is we end up teaching. We're teaching gospel doctrines. We're teaching the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s of the Christian faith, and they're learning and they're growing, and you can see whether or not they're learning and they're growing.
Right.
And then from there, if they don't know things, and if they can't own things to the point where they can tell other people these things that they know and have convictions about, they're not going to end up being good Christian leaders.
Right.
Because since Christian leadership is about the gospel and about Christ and about proclaiming Christ, you start there. You focus on the doctrine of it. You focus on the theology of it, and then putting it into practice, and you give them opportunities, and eventually you send them out to do ministry. So leaders want to be committed to training other leaders and reproducing themselves. Not only that, we also want to lead through leaders. Let's go back and let's give the managers some props. We as leaders lead through other leaders, but we also lead through other managers. We need managers. Mm-hmm. It's actually really important that we have them, in part because I can't be the leader that I otherwise could be if I don't have people helping me to manage, because I'm not very good at managing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, we better fly through this last
few more.
Handful.
Yeah, we need to breeze on through these here. Encourage. You want to be an encouraging leader to others.
What's that look like to encourage people?
To encourage
on
them.
On Sunday morning, how do you encourage people, Mike Grimes?
It's even sometimes with the passing comment, thank you for serving. Thank you for doing that. It's about encouraging them to continue to do what they're doing because of the way it helps and serves others, and to show them the benefit that they're providing, and just, you know, even just little comments here and there that can happen.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, we want to be loyal as leaders.
Yep. We want to be loyal, and insofar as we can, because we can't always be loyal. We're not blindly loyal, but we do want to be committed to the people who are committed to us, and to committed to the doctrines that we share and hold dear without any question. That's an important one.
Yep. Want to think ahead, not just be a reactive, you know, reacting to everything that happens type of leader, but somebody who's proactively thinking ahead, planning, looking what's happening, maybe even just in the immediate future, but further ahead even, you know.
I think that's one of the things that would mark somebody who is a leader from somebody who's just managing the pieces.
Sure, yeah.
So sometimes we're in managing the pieces mode, and that leadership is involved. But okay, what lies ahead? What kind of opportunities are out there that we're not taking advantage of?
Yeah.
What about outreach? What about all kinds of things?
Mm-hmm.
New gospel ventures, if you will, partnerships.
Sure. Yeah.
So, and sometimes that's a real struggle for me because I'm just trying to get by and get through the week.
Sure.
So how can we be thinking ahead? Oh yes, that's going to involve risk. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to involve change. That's part of what a leader has to do and what they do. And that's going to lead you to do something else that leaders need to do. And that's going to cause you to pray.
Yes, it's going to cause you to pray.
And you're going to pray for wisdom and say, God, help me. I don't know what to do here. I'm convinced that you led us to this point and that we need to do something different or something new. So God, please help us to do this and help raise up other people who can help us to do this new thing. The one great thing about being a leader is if you're a leader who's leading, I think you are going to pray.
Yeah. Yep.
So
yeah,
you're forced to in a sense.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We've already talked about taking risks, but it is part of the whole deal, because if you just do things the way they've always been done in the past, it's probably not helpful. Mm-hmm. And please don't hear us incorrectly. We're not saying that the gospel ever changes or the gospel is ever new or anything even close to that.
Right.
But there are doors that open and there are doors that close and there are opportunities and new relationships, technology. And so we end up taking risks because somebody's going to say, well, we haven't done it like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, hopefully, in not so many words, not with these words, well, just because we did it wrong in the past doesn't mean we should keep doing it incorrectly in the present and in the future.
Right.
So, because we make mistakes and we have weaknesses. So as we're growing and learning, let's look for new opportunities to do things better.
Yes, most definitely. Huh? Yeah.
I once heard a leader say, and it's stuck with me all these years, good leaders, this is another principle, they make good second decisions.
Mm, yes. Yeah. I've heard that before. Yeah.
So, and what we mean by that is you are going to make mistakes.
Yep.
And so do you really need to go down with the ship when the shimp,
yes,
which is a ship that is a shrimp boat. Anyway, do you really need to go down with the ship when you don't need to? Just step off and say, that was a bad idea.
Yep.
I'm going to step onto another one. The imagery doesn't really work, but you get the idea.
You're right.
Make a good second decision because the first decision wasn't a good one. And so you're going to say, okay, Lord, learn from that. Let's move on to something else.
Yes. Yeah.
We were wrong about that.
Yep.
Maybe one more. And, we'll have to clean this list up because I count 16 on the list and that just doesn't have a ring to it. I don't think we can publish that as a book.
16 leadership, it's not going to work out.
13 works because that's how many, lessons are in a quarter.
There you go.
That works for Sunday school curriculum.
There you go. We'll go 13.
So don't cater to grumblers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You don't do that.
Please hear us on this one. There will always be, until the Lord comes back, there will be people who grumble and complain. Unfortunately, sometimes it might even be us.
It might even be
us.
I was just going to say that. Could be us.
But we need to not cater to them. Yeah. And what we need, I think it helps to remember that when somebody's grumbling and complaining, first of all, if somebody has a critique, it's good to say, is it legitimate? Because sometimes it will be.
Right.
But when you have those who are grumbling and complaining for whatever reason, you just remember they're not the only person.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people who need you to focus on what's of first importance. There are other people who need you to be clear about the law and clear about the gospel and therefore clear about the Lord Jesus and clear about gospel ministry and who the church is and what the church is about and all that kind of stuff. It really is helpful to not be all consumed and let the tail wag the dog. So many times I've had to deal with people who are grumbling and complaining and they've kind of lost the plot. And what's kept me from getting kind of sucked down the, what should we call it? I don't know.
The pit of despair.
The pit of the slough of despond or something. What's helped me and has been a means of grace in my life would just be the other Christians.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Ain't got time for that.
Yep.
We can't get distracted because there's too much good gospel ministry to be done. I'm not saying I shouldn't care about everybody.
Right.
I should care about everybody.
Right. Yep.
But if you listen to every grumbler and complainer, it's going to be crash and burn.
Yes, most
so
definitely.
Remember the people who are brand new. Remember the unbeliever who's there wanting to hear the law and the gospel, even if they don't know it.
Yeah.
Remember the person who brought their friend because they want them to hear the truth about Jesus Christ. Remember the suffering soul who just lost their spouse or loved one who needs the balm of the gospel. So remember, if we were allowed to use Star Trek analogies, and I was told you shouldn't. Spock says the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. And so we don't learn all of our pastoral methodology
from
Star Trek, but we know that a stop clock is right twice.
That's right. All right, let's wrap up this episode with a few resources we might recommend to our listeners about leadership.
How about if you do the traditional ones, Mike, and I'll do the non-traditional ones?
The traditional ones and the non-traditional ones.
Yeah.
All right. The traditional resources we would recommend to you are 2 Corinthians. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. 2 Corinthians and the book of 2 Timothy. Great places to turn, as we talked about, looking to Scripture to learn about leadership. 2 Timothy, thinking through the different qualifications of leaders and how that works and fleshes itself out in the church. Also, 2 Corinthians, you can learn from the Apostle Paul and different things he even experienced in his ministry and time.
Super helpful. Those two would stand out to me. And I'm doing the non-traditional ones.
Yes.
So how about I'll do a semi-traditional
one. Okay.
So meeting people in the middle, biographies can be really helpful.
Yes, they can.
Because they're inspiring.
Yes.
Because sometimes they are borderline hagiography.
You're right. Yeah.
Because these people are holier than anybody who's ever existed.
Yeah.
So, no, the best biographies don't, they give people the full picture. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some Christian men and women who've gone before us read a biography now and then just to kind of motivate yourself. Oftentimes they were against the odds. They took a risk. Mm-hmm. They were persecuted. They suffered. And yet somehow the Lord sustained them and something good came out of it or it wouldn't be in a biography.
Right, right.
So I've appreciated the one about J. Gresham Machen. That Ned B. Stonehouse, his friend, wrote. I think that's a really good one that's stood out to me over the years. But it's a long list. And then you can even read non-Christian biographies or non-Christian books about Christian. Let me get it straight. You can also read non-Christian books about these things because we're learning wisdom even from the ant, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah.
One of my favorite little ones, it's easy to read. It's called Churchill on Leadership. I found it rather amusing just to learn a thing or two about Churchill. And Churchill, made some pretty big mistakes as a leader.
Sure, yeah.
But he also did some very brave things as a leader. And so a lot of books have been written about him and even as it relates to leadership. But that particular one, Churchill on Leadership, is one that I've appreciated over the years. I was just looking at my book, some of my books, and I forgot how many biographies I've read and how many leadership books I've read. They can really be helpful. Back to that John Maxwell book, The Laws of Leadership. I kind of like to make fun of it, but in reality, it's pretty helpful.
It's
a whole lot of common sense. So if you've never read a book on leadership, they're just good to revisit now and then because they remind you about some basic things.
Sure. Well, thank you for being a part of the Pactum Verse and joining us here on this episode about leadership. You can contact us on X. You can find us at the Pactum, Instagram at the Pactum Theology. You can email us connect@thepactum.org. And we remind you, get your pictures up of the Active Obedience of Christ picture. Tag us, send it to us on email if you don't have social media, and we'll announce the winner next week. See you next week on the Pactum.